Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, chapter 1, history of the life of the Jani, text 21. This is the real beginning of the story.
Kanyakubje
Dujaha
Kaschit
Dasi Patihi
Ajamilaha
Namna
Nastasat
Acharaha
Dasya
Samsarga Dushitaha. Kanya kubje dvija kaschit.
Kanya kubje dvija kaschit.
Dasi patira jamila.
Dasi patira jamila.
Namna nasta sadacharo Dasha samsarga dushitaha Kanya kujje dvija kaschit Dasi patira jamilaha Namna nasta sadacharo Dasya samsarga dushitaha Kanya kubje dvija kaschit Dasi patira jamilaha Namna nashta sadacharo Dasya samsarga dushitaha Kanya kubje dvija kaschit Dasi patira jamilaha Namna nasta sadacharo Dasya samsarga dushitaha Kanya kubje In the city of Kanya kubja Kanauj. Kanauj. Say that word, Kanauj. Capital K. The current name of the city is Kanauj. K-A-N-A-U-J, Kanauj. A town near Kanpur. Dujaha Brahmana. Kaschid. Sam. Dasipatihi. The husband of a low-class woman or prostitute. Ajamilaha. Ajamila. Namna. By name. Nastasat acharaha. Who had lost all brahminical qualities. Dasya. Of the prostitute or maid servant. Samsarga dushitaha. Contaminated by the association. Translation. In the city known as Kanyakubja, there was a brahmana named Ajamila who married a prostitute maid servant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. Purport. The fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all one's brahminical qualities. In India, there is still a class of servants called Shudras, whose maidservant wives are called Shudranis. Sometimes people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maidservants and sleeping women. Since in the higher statuses of society they cannot indulge in the habit of woman hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social convention. Ajamil, a qualified Brahmana youth, lost all his brahminical qualities because of his association with a prostitute, but he was ultimately saved. Because he had begun the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who had as therefore in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord, Manap Krishna Padara Bindata Sakrit, or has just begun in the bhakti yoga process. Bhakti yoga begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing the chanting of the Lord's names, as in the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting is the beginning of bhakti yoga. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Namaiva, Kivalam, Kalo, Nastieva, 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 Gatya, Bhutta. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is always superbly effective. But it is especially effective in this age of color. Its practical effectiveness will now be explained by Shukadeva Goswami through the history of Ajamila, who was freed from the hands of the Yamadutas simply because of chanting the holy name of Narayana. Parikshit Maharaj's original question was how to be freed from falling down into hell or into the hands of the Yamadutas. In reply, Shukadeva Goswami is citing this old historical example to convince Maharaj Parikshit of the potency of bhakti yoga, which begins simply with chanting of the Lord's name. All the great authorities of bhakti yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Tan Nama Grahanadi Bihi. Ma Om Vishnu Pidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srivate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namane, Namaste Sarasvate Deve, Gauravana Pacharni, Nirvisesha Sudhavani Paschachate Satarana. Kanya kub jedi da kaschit dasi potir ajamila nam nam. In the city of Kanyakubya, there was a certain Brahman, kaschit dujaha, a certain Brahman, of the name Ajamila, who was a dasi pati. He was a dvija, but dasi pati. So therefore, Nasta Sadacharo, his purity, Sadachara, his all his brahminical qualifications, Nasta, destroyed because Dasya some Sarga Dushtitaha, because he was contaminated by the association of this Dasi. So this begins with a scandal. It's still like this, you know, if the son of some wealthy Connecticut family not only has association with some prostitute or showgirl or something like that, but actually wants to marry her, then it's a scandal. So this is the situation. Of course, this is a little difficult one for people to swallow today, because Prabhupada simply doesn't even flinch at talking about classes and what does he use the expression here? Higher statuses of society and so on. We're all supposed to say there's no such thing. But all this is in denial, even while it's going on, of course. It still happens. It's completely... everyone very minutely notices and can tell which class somebody belongs to. And it's still a scandal if something like this happens. We pretend it's people, we're all against this higher and lower ideas. And I think there's still a class of servants. Because from a Vedic point of view, there are the three modes of nature. And people are situated within the three modes of nature and conditioned by them. And therefore, if you take the capabilities, qualities, and defects of the people that are in the different modes of natures, and you engage them appropriately, you'll end up with Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And when people are properly engaged in this way, everything works. When that doesn't happen, according to the modes of nature and the activities they're capable of, but rather according to other criteria, like birth, or wealth, or misbegotten senses of equality, and so on, you know, then everything becomes really weird. As you can see, the sign, the particular sign of Kali Yuga is that really low-class people, Kali, are dressed up as kings. So I'm reading this book now called The 1% Doctrine by Ronald Susskind, who's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, telling about the inner workings of the current Bush administration after 9/11. And you can see it. You can see it. There are some intelligent people, but there are some people in key positions that really don't belong there. They're just not qualified whatsoever. But very confident of themselves, super confident. They get gut feelings and they believe they tell the truth. Just as incredible, even intellectuals are unqualified because they don't. The worst problem is the Brahmanas who don't know Brahman. And so there's this peculiar mixture of this combination of a certain form of Christianity with patriotism. So that although the name of the United States is not found in the Gospels, somehow or other this is a sanctified country and everything we do is right. Anyways, it's terrible what happens, and we can see it all the time. By not following this system, the reason we don't care for this because we have seen that everywhere there is these divisions of class or caste. Caste means really it's very hard to move from one to the other, as usually. You know, they're really segregated off from each other, whereas as a class system, it's more mobile, although slowly so. Although originally in India, the system of varnas, which is translated as caste sometimes, is not hereditary, it became hereditary. You can see how that would happen, but it's a corruption. You need detached people really to make these kind of decisions. I think the former Bush president of the United States must be really appalled because a son who is not qualified is in that position. And the two don't get along at all. Yeah, they only have a very formal relationship. Yeah. See, Bush had, the older Bush, senior Bush, had many advisors and people who guided his foreign policy, his, you know, Brahmin types. And when the younger Bush took office, his advisors, Rhodes, Cheney, Rumsfeld, put all these old guys into exile. And one of the senior Bush's biggest advisors, Prince Scowcroft, had actually written an op-ed piece in the New York Times against going to war against Iraq. Because he just couldn't talk to the current president anyway. He was just like persona non grata. Anyway, so unqualified people, even if they're born, maybe somebody who's a little more qualified may take this and become bad. So one should see that if I'm a Brahmin, but I have a son who's really not qualified, I should say, okay, you really want to be a bricklayer. That makes you happy, or that's what you're capable of, then do it. But the parents don't want to do that. But even Brahmins don't want to do that, what to speak of. So there's a very interesting lecture that Prabhupada gave in India, just to show how revolutionary Krishna consciousness is. Even though Prabhupada sounds so conservative, the people in America. I'll just show you how revolutionary Krishna consciousness is in this lecture. Prabhupada blamed the hereditary class system. He blamed the partition of India on the hereditary caste system. He said because the case he made in short was that there were, because of the caste system, heredity was the only qualification. Many people became Brahmanas who were not qualified. Those unqualified Brahmins mistreated the Shudras. Because you actually see how Shudras are supposed to be treated. Although in one sense they don't have freedom, on the other hand, they're supposed to be taken care of. Although the master is in this case, not the state, the masters are individuals. Nevertheless, because they're receiving service all the time from this group of people, they have to take care of them at large. And it basically cradled the grave socialism. It's total security. You don't have to worry. It says that Shudras are not given money. One means of not having freedom is you don't have money. Because of the nature of the mode of ignorance, it will go to gambling. and intoxication and illicit sex. That's just simply how it is spent. This is true. This is a fact. Those people who, when they have money, they go to the lounges, they go to the casinos, they go to the bars, they waste it all on everything. They don't have any money left over to pay the bills. That's true. We consider it normal behavior, well, not low class, but in fact, that's what it is. It's true. So shooters are not supposed to be given money. If you give somebody money and they make more money, then they're not shooters, they're vicious. They invest it wisely and they put it to use. Then they shouldn't be considered. So shooters are not to be given money, but it says they're supposed to be given all they can eat. Tons of food, second, lots of clothes. Because clothes are very important. So the fashion industry is actually another area. Anyway. And you're obliged to take care of them. If you see that vices take care of animals like their mother and father, but what about other human beings? And we see this in the really old days when there was actually a real nobility. They had family retainers and they took care of them all their lives. Now this is considered paternalistic and so on. But basically, if these group of people, if people with personal obligations don't take care of them, then who has to take care of them? The state. Somebody has to take care of them. Prophet says there's three classes of people, right? One is happy, one is active, and one is helpless. So this is anyway. So when how Prabhupada is explaining when how in the social system of Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, there was restrictions. There was no illicit sex. In those days, marriage was arranged, and so on. So, especially with Brahmanas, there was just no facility. You're supposed to not be lusty. And so when people wanted to stray, they would have sexual relationships, or what does he call it? He says, maid servants and sweeping women, the street sweepers. So that's what seemed to happen in this case. He married her, actually. It says later on he had 10 children, and so on. I don't know because he was, when this incident, his death happened, he was 88 years old. So his wife must have been considerably younger than him to have had a young son. Or else maybe he had more than one wife. I don't know. Anyway, this was him. He had fallen down, and he had this relationship with this woman. And we will see his means of livelihood was crime. It says that Ajamila. It's the next verse, kidnapping, extortion, gambling, and so on. These were his things. So he lost all his good qualities. He was really a fallen person and really, a degraded guy. He wasn't, honestly employed even in any kind of menial labor. He was a criminal. So apparently this was not a very nice woman that he married, this Dasi. So this story is told, and so here's somebody who, so you can understand that he had a heap of sins piled up on him, big time sins. And then he had begun the process of bhakti yoga. This seems to refer to the fact that he had said the Lord's name at the time of death. Because he had, Sukadeva Goswami had said before, Sakrid Mana Krishna Padara Vandeo, just one time, Sakrid. Take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Or has just begun the process of bhakti yoga. So the beginning, as Prabhupada is stressing in this purport, just the beginning. But then he wants to say here that the beginning is chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. I mean, that has Shravanam, hearing first, but you can't chant unless you've heard something. What are you going to chant the Hare Krishna mantra? Somewhere at least you have to have heard it. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Hearing and chanting the holy name. So Prabhupada stresses here that chanting is the beginning of bhakti yoga. And at the end of the verse, at the end of this purport, all the great authorities of bhakti yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Tan nama vihanadi bihi. That's a quotation two chapters further on. When the frustrated Yamadutas come to Yamaraj and say, why couldn't we take this sinful man? They were coming to take him and they were interrupted. Because, as it turned out, he had said the name of Narayan, which was the name of his beloved son at the time of death. I think it was 6322. Yeah, so this is, so Yamaraj tells them, the Yamadutas want to know, well, what is actual Dharma? This guy can get away from all this and still be saved, and isn't this against Dharma? So then what is really Dharma? This question comes up. And so part of the reply is, Etanvan eva lokesmin pumsam dharma parasmitaha bhakti yoga bhagavati tannama grahanadivihi. So that's what Prabhupada quotes, tannama grahanadivihi. So this says that the ultimate religion, pumsam dharma parasmitaha. The dharma para, the highest dharma, recognized pumsam for people, lokesmin, in this world, bhakti yoga, bhagavati, we make sure what bhakti yoga is for Bhagavan, not anybody else, and tam nama grahanadihi, that process, which began, graha, nama graha, tam nama grahana, chanting, or concentrating on his name, adibhi, that begins with, the process that begins with, this Mahaprabhu uses the same expression, tava nama grahaneva vishuti, when will I be absorbed in your name. So he had already said that the real religious principle is Bhagavad Dharma. These 12, he lists the 12 Mahajans and says, then these 12 know real Dharmam Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Dharma, which is Gujam. Esoteric, not known to everybody. Vishuddham, transcendental. Durbodham, not easily understood, but which one knows it. Amritam Ashnute, which is actually a quotation from the Upanishads. He enjoys immortality. Amritam Ashnute. So this is this principle of Bhagavad Dharma. And of course, from the very beginning, Bhagavatam has been stressing this. Bhagavatama. Dharma Krojita Kaitaro Atra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. This Bhagavatam explains dharma which is freed from all kinds of materially motivated religions and which is appreciated by those who are fully pure in heart. Again, Bhagavatam, Savayakum Sam Paro Dharmakum. It's asked again in the very beginning, what is the, there are many scriptures, they say different things, how are we to know what is the real religion? And Sukha Goswami says, Savayakum Sam Paro Dharmakum Yatra Bhaktiram. Ahotsaje, the highest Paro Dharma is Bhakti. I to be of the theater, which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. So that's taught, and here the indication, or this is one of the indications here, this whole story of Ajamiya is the importance of chanting. Because it says in the 11th canto, that is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. And hearing and chanting about the Lord is. The importance of it is indicated right at the very beginning of Bhagavatam, where the sages are engaged in Naimisharanya forest. And this Naimisharanya forest has a particular property, spiritual property of this place. It's a holy place, a tirtha. And of Naimisharanya forest, because it's a kind of an axis, the axis of the universe somehow or other runs through it, that any sacrifice that's performed there benefits everybody. The beneficial results are distributed to everyone. And the sages were gathering at the beginning of Kali Yuga, and they're thinking about the welfare of the people. And so their plan was to perform 1,000-year-long chain of fire sacrifices. But when Sukha Goswami showed up, they sat him down and they interrupted what they were doing and asked him to speak because he had been present a little while earlier when Shukadeva Goswami revealed the Bhagavatam for the first time to Maharaj Pariksit. Shukadeva Goswami was a legendary sage, the son of Vyasadeva, but very unusual, and only 16 years old or something like that, but known to be extremely advanced, all those people who knew these things. And Maharaj Pariksit was the emperor of the whole world. This was like a celebrity occasion here when these two great people came together. And so that was the time that Sukadeva Goswami first publicly spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And so Sukha was there. He heard it. And so they asked him, could you repeat what you've heard? And so they stopped their sacrifices to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So that indication is that if you really want to help people in this age, this is the process. This is the sacrifice. Otherwise known as Sankirtan Yajna, which is the Yuga Dharma. So the Yuga Dharma is really indicated at the beginning of Bhagavatam. And here it is again. You see, in this story of Ajamiya, when the whole question is having. When Maharaj Pariksit is just given this tour of the hells and how people are suffering in them, and he wants to know what can be done. So practically speaking, in Kali Yuga, everyone's destined for hell. It's just like totally. People just don't know. You know, the mother that has a little child, little baby, and she wants to make sure he's healthy, so she buys organic range-fed beef feed him. Her mother love is sending that kid to hell. That's this Kali Yuga. People just don't know what to do. So what do we go? So something is needed. So here it is, the holy name. The chanting of the names of God. As Mahaprabhu said, quoting this, you know, this stress, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Chant the name of Hari, the name of Hari, chant the name of Hari. Eva Kevalam. That alone. Kalo Nasti Eva. And there is no other way, no other way, no other. Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Gatya Anyata. In this Kali Yuga, Naasti. Nothing else. That alone. So there's a question of practical effectiveness. What is there? How can it be effective? Well, first of all, it has to, would you say practical? When Prabhupada says something is practical, I guess the more current American term is doable. It's doable. It can be done. Because of the fact that Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. And where there's Krishna, one comes into contact with Krishna, then immediately purification takes place. Now there are many ways of coming to contact with Krishna. Here's this temple. In 15 minutes we'll see the deities. That's very nice. What we have to go through to have these deities available to people. They've been installed, they're taken care of. We have a staff of about 15 people probably taking care. So these deities will be available. So it's very, and how many people show up to come? But Krishna is as much available just in the syllables Krishna. So there's two syllables, Krishna. Very portable. Very compact. I can, here you have this whole big temple, but I can just be walking in the streets and Krishna. Everything is there. You can't beat it for convenience. And so in Kali Yuga, people will not be able to come to temples and churches anymore. People will not be able to come into contact with Krishna. Now the Prabhupada says here, you notice this thing he says, I'm trying to find it in the verse. But yeah, the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is always superbly effective. Nice phrase, superbly effective. But it's especially effective in this age of Kali. So it has become more effective than usual. And that is because Lord Chaitanya has chanted it. So the holy name possesses, as Mahaprabhu says, Nam Namakari Bahuda, you have many names. Nija Sarva Shaktista Tarpita, and you put into them all your potencies. So the potencies are there, but still the potencies are released under certain conditions. It's just like a seed. A seed has all the potencies of a tree, but for that seed to sprout and flourish, yeah, there has to be some conditions. Fertile soil, and rain, you know, all the potencies are there, but the seed will not exhibit those potencies unless there are certain conditions. So one of the things that Mahaprabhu was, he himself chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And because he chanted it, it came from his mouth, it becomes more potent. This kind of example, I guess it's a crude example. But a bird eats the seed in a tree. And when he excretes the seed is in the bird's dung. So immediately it becomes, the potency is there because it's super light. Because it comes from the bird. So it comes out of the mouth of a pure devotee, the more potency is manifest. So because it was chanted by Mahaprabhu, it's more potent. Has been coated with his mercy, really. So, and his well-wishing for everybody. So the potencies, it doesn't exactly become more effective, not more potent. Potencies are always there. And now, of course, what the point of the story about Ajamya will illustrate was that his chanting was nothing like perfect. Because when he said the name of the Lord Narayan, he was actually looking at his little boy. He had taken his shelter was this little kid who couldn't save him at all at the time of death when the bad Yamadutas were coming to haul him down to hell. He saw them and he became terrified and he screamed for his son to help him, Narayan. But because he said Narayan, the Vishnus came, prevented him from going. Just because he said, even though he did not even intend Narayan, he thought he was son. But so Prabhupada explained that this chanting, although it was not pure, because it didn't intend, it nevertheless was a form of nam-abhasa. In other words, a kind of shadow of the holy name or a reflection of the holy name, not the real holy name. Because there are different kinds of nam-abhasa. And Namacharya Haridas Thakur explains this. He explains this in connection with, he says, when a Muslim is being in some danger, he says, haram, haram. Oh no, when he sees a pig, haram, haram, which means, polluted, contaminated. But actually, the word Ram is there. He's chanting the name Ram. Even if the syllables are separated, if I say, I am going to Bala Kinwood to visit the Auto Rama, then I've said the name Bala Rama. That counts, Acharyas say, as Namabhasa. It's a kind of unintentional accident. And it really is. And Namabhasa clears away simple reactions. Now, because most of these people are not following a process, they again go and sin. It's effective. These kinds of Namabhasa. So that now in the process of Krishna consciousness, when one wants to cultivate the holy name and has heard about the potencies of the holy name, Namabhasa is an intermediate stage of chanting. There's three stages that is explained by Prabhupada. The offensive. See, the reason why that I can say Krishna and don't see Krishna, because Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. Right? They're identical. There is no difference. Abhinatva nama nama nama. There is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. Therefore, it means that when I say Krishna, I should see Krishna face to face. I should have full experience of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes simply by saying Krishna. That doesn't happen. Well, when I see Radha Shah Bihari, because Krishna and Krishna's statue are the same, I should see Radha Shravihari directly in Vrindavan. Instead, I see a statue. Why? The Krishna and Krishna's statue or picture are the same. That's because there's still some offense on my part. That I'm chanting the holy name, but I'm still committing offenses. So then, therefore, this is, and Lord Chaitanya refers to this fact as durdaivam. Mama durdaivam idvishamiha janina nirvaka. My misfortune is that although the names are here and easily available and easy to chant, I'm still not addicted to them, or attracted to them. With my misfortune. The misfortune is that there's offenses in the chanting. So if one is committing offenses against the holy name, to commit an offense, you have to know what they are and still do it. Like it's an offense to disobey the order of a spiritual master. Now, if I've never encountered a spiritual master, how can I even disobey it? That's why other forms of namabhas are possible. I'm chanting the holy name, it's not pure, but at the same time, I'm not committing an offense. But if a devotee, if there's offenses, then I commit offenses and I don't do anything about it, then it's namaparad. So what's manifest is just namaparad, which is practically no better than letters of the alphabet. If I'm chanting and I'm trying to give up offenses, what Prabhupada calls the clearing stage, clearing up of offenses, then although the pure name isn't manifest, what's manifest is this dawning life of the name, Namabhasa. Abhasa means a projection of light into darkness. So the sun is below the horizon in the morning, but still the sun's dawning lights in the sky, that's Abhasa. So the dawning light, if one chants while trying to give up offenses, then that's what's manifest, is Namabhasa. And that Namabhasa destroys all sinful reactions. And actually, the result of Namabhasa is moksha, liberation. If one continues in that way, gradually Shivanam, the pure name, will be manifest. If the sunshine pops up, then the pure name is manifest. And the result of that is prema of Krishna. So even in the beginning stages, if one's chants the holy name and while trying to give up offenses, that one will not go to hell. It's not yet pure love of God, but one will be delivered from the what's awaiting us. Because we have committed so many sinful activities, and they're sitting there. The reactions, the suffering is sitting there. Like in the UPS office, just waiting to be delivered. And when we chant Namabhasa, the delivery is canceled. Yeah.
Seeing the difference, there's like a broad definition of sin. What specifically do you want?
What's a sin? Oh, sin means basically to disobey the orders of God. You know, every religion has a list of commandments. You know, the Christians have the Ten Commandments. We have certain things, like we are told not to eat meat, fish, or eggs. So if I know that, there's a sinful reaction from that. So that's a sin. You're not supposed to have illicit sex. I'm supposed to have sex outside of marriage, and in marriage procreation, I do that, then that's a sin. And when there's a sin, there's a karmic reaction, there's a punishment. from stores.
Just like you commit a crime. It's here sometimes they don't catch you, but in this case, you can get caught.
So these are all kinds of many sins.
Taking intoxicants also in the sin.
Stealing is a sin.
Yeah, anyway, we pretty much know what they are.
Do you feel is it more likely that you immediately, as far as your karma, a karmic reaction to the sin happens? Or is it sometimes that if you're following along in a negative path, you'll be allowed to continue along with that?
Yes, sir, yeah, because it takes time. It's like you commit a sin. It's like if I use the same example, like a seed. It takes a time for the plant to grow and to bear fruit. So they come later, sometime in this life and in their next future lives. So we have to stop now. It's 8:00. Time for the duties. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.